Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, folks. We're going to do Steve Williamson isn't here this morning. Mike Cosentino is, and so is Silent Gary, as we call him.
Good morning.
Silent Gary, the master, our research guy. We have a couple guests with us this morning. We have Ruth Wicks. We have Mr. Bob Oliphant. They have been guests before. They are both from the Yavapai College question that we started talking about on this show. Has been followed up on some editorials and in print media over the last year or so. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to sound bites, but part of the issue was, Verde Valley, Sedona, getting its share of Yavapai College, effort, funding and programs. And, Bob Oliphant, as the board member, was on the Yavapai College board, elected from this side of the mountain, felt that it wasn't. And, I'm going to speak for him, and he's going to speak for himself in a minute, that his voice wasn't necessarily having much impact on the board. So he did calculated that resigning would move things along, and he was absolutely correct. It was maybe a political move, but it was a good one because the last year has been full of meetings about all sorts of things, which we are going to find out about. Regarding Yavapai Community College.
There's lots of positive news.
That's real good to know. Because my tone is, I've been told, is acerbic. That's a vocabulary word for this morning. Cynical, I guess, would be but seriously, I don't mean to put that tone in there. I'm looking forward to some good news, because I'm going to also throw in another piece, a bad one. I remember the meeting here a year ago. At the Sedona campus of Yavapai College, where somebody stood up and said, you know, I thought it was called Yavapai Community College, and we took, Tom Hanks is running around talking about how the community college was the most important thing in his life, and this incredibly successful American, seems like a nice guy and rich, you know, how does that happen? And he credits community college with his success. And I said, well, gee, we have a Yavapai College, but I don't know if we have a Yavapai Community College. No, I'm being facetious, of course. The 2 years past high school here at most places in the United States are considered community college of some sort.
I think a good description is that we had Yavapai College in the county. We didn't have a community college in the Verde Valley. It was there at a very bare minimum and was gradually being moved to the other side of the mountain.
Well, so many of us certainly felt that way. We saw the program slipping away. You know, Bob Oliphant as a board member and as a guy running for the board at that time saw it maybe a little clearer than some of us. All we knew was there were being fewer and fewer things offered on this side of the mountain, and some of us maybe that thought about it a little deeper said, Yavapai is choosing a more of a corporate business model, I guess, to consolidate things in the home office in Prescott. And we're not getting the served. And then, which is our segue into our guests, and then Bob and Ruth brought up the budget, that this is a tax-supported institution, and tax money flows from Sedona as it flows from the Verde Valley. And perhaps the return wasn't what it should be. Good morning. Good morning, Bob Oliphant. Good morning, Ruth Wicks. We're doing kind of an update here. It's been an exciting – you resigned last January.
It is. What a difference a year makes. I mean, we really had a long list of what we label successes, and we have a long list of things that need to be done here. But there's been an outpouring of community interest and community support for looking at how underserved the Verde Valley really is. And community support saved the Sedona Center. It really did. That outpouring on March 4th that you talked about, it made such an impression on that governing board. They'd never seen anything like that.
Real quickly, I was there. There was somewhere between 70 and 100 people, which in Sedona, for anything non-art related, oh, and maybe in a lot of ways the college was art related, but certainly it was part of what they offered that was disappearing anyway. A lot of people there, a lot of speakers, a lot of friends and neighbors, names that you would recognize, spoke glowingly of the campus and the desire to have it. At that time, we were talking about the 10-year plan, and the 10-year plan didn't take a Ph.D. in college administration to see that Sedona campus's days were numbered. And you're saying that that turnout saved it. Now, are they offering things at the Sedona campus?
No, Ruth. I think we failed. We failed to save the film program.
The program.
They closed it out.
That was already cut by the time you started the advisory group.
Right. They announced that, and there was no way we could get them to put it back in at that point. So they just closed it out.
Right.
How many?
I think presently the Sedona campus has the wonderful Ollie program, which I believe Robin James Weeks says there are about 800 students across the Verde
Osher,
Valley in Sedona.
Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, a lot
right.
of
stuff. But the only two we consider academic classes are Music 1 or Voice 1 and Voice 2 are the only that, to my knowledge, are there. They do, I think, have some community education classes, but those are not credited classes.
Right.
Again, they're more like Ollie classes for the people take them for their enjoyment or enrichment.
I'd like to point out bring up one of the issues that I think has been most important in changing the direction of the college is that Bob and Ruth pulled together a lot of people across the Verde Valley from city councils and some of the movers and shakers of the Verde Valley and put together a citizens advocacy group. And I always it's a long name I always forget, but it's an informal group that meets regularly. And
what do they meet for?
To discuss issues with the Yavapai College and how we might change the college and how we might achieve our goal of an independent administration on this side of the.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Is the goal at least at one? For one of the committees is to get an independent Yavapai College on this side of the mountain that would have a budget, control its own budget, and offer its programs in conjunction, of course, with the college in Prescott and the one in.
I'd like to let them talk about it, but I'd like to say that I think they have worked tirelessly. These two have worked tirelessly to do that. Seriously.
So what?
Send
it's,
money.
And it's been a huge impact. And that's what's generated a lot of the publicity and a lot of the steps that the college itself has taken. So.
Well, we on regards to that, just a few things. The CFO of the college, Dr. Clint Yule, said it would cost $1.5 million to have our own Verde Valley Community College here in our area.
Uh-huh.
So that's easily doable with the present college budget. They have excess funds annually of between $6 and $10 million. At excess funds is an interesting title. And they put, last year I think they put, is this correct, Bob? $8 million of that into a special saving account that they have at Wells Fargo?
$5 million.
Was it $5 million? Okay.
Oh, $5 to $8 million.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, so the other thing is it's legal. The state of Arizona allows this. It's in the statutes. It's been done 10 times down in the Phoenix area. So we continue to champion that idea, that dream for our people here. The other is the CTEC, which Bob has been very involved in bringing the two boards together, Yavapai College Board and VAC, which is the Valley Academic Career and Technology Education Unit. Lois Lamer is the CEO of that, and historical first meeting with the board, their board, and Yavapai College's board to create a program much like the program that they have over in the Prescott area, which is called CTEC.
Yeah, I was there for the first hour of that meeting.
My Career and Technology
Education Center.
That's it.
I think, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you a little bit more about this group that we have. It's a group that meets in neighborhood living rooms. Mm. We meet usually once a month somewhere where we have a free hall to meet in. Ruth and I simply put out an agenda. We have no money, no budget. We don't solicit money. We're not incorporated. We are essentially, I suppose, what you'd characterize as a populist group of people.
What's the name of it, Ken? Just be clear on that.
All right. Verde Valley Community College Citizen Advocates.
Thank you.
And we change our name if someone thinks it should be changed. But it's as Gary said, very informal group. But the interest is very, very high, and the citizens have turned out to share insights and knowledge with us and try to coordinate efforts throughout the valley as a part of that group. So that's what it is, a very unusual kind of thing. It's really a movement more than
a lot
group.
Of business people, and as I mentioned before, members from the city councils of the various communities in the Verde Valley. And so it's people that know how to get things done, I think, is a good way to do it.
Now, the college has set up an advisory group. Is that correct? Separate.
They have two advisory groups.
They have two advisory groups.
Right.
Okay. Now, but this wasn't response. I want to say right up front, to your activism, to what Gary referred to as getting started, getting it going, and putting in that work. Right. And that's what it was. Was it educating those of us that just kind of go along with our lives and not realizing that the college maybe wasn't serving us as well down here? Maybe the college agreed. They formed two groups, eventually agreed, and your group is still going. What are the college groups doing? What's going on between you? I mean, is there a communication between your groups? Are they all still needed?
Well, all three groups will continue. Our group will continue its role as an advocate. That's a specific role.
Right.
Again, we're a populist group. If no one shows up for our meetings, Ruth and I will just go to a restaurant and have coffee.
It'll make my role of being secretary
a whole lot
easier.
That's right. Gary takes the minutes. He does a wonderful job on the minutes. He's a volunteer.
Good. Full disclosure.
The governing board has, the five-member district governing board has created a district governing board advisory committee for the Verde Valley, specifically for the Verde Valley. And that is made up of terrific people from throughout the valley. It's a good cross-section of the valley and some really good, strong people in terms of education on that committee. Paul Chevalier is the chair at this point. Bill Regner is vice chair. It's a strong group, and they are now gathering information from sources throughout the valley, and they intend to make a report to the
new board member, Filardo. I can't remember his first name.
Al Filardo. He was very instrumental in putting together the bylaws for it and getting the governing board. He did a terrific job.
Is he a board?
He's a board. He replaced me on that board.
But he's a board rep on that committee?
He represents the board and attends those meetings. That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. There are three, if we talk about accomplishments, there are three new board members on the governing board. Deb McCausland, right? And I don't know the name of the...
Steve Irwin.
And so we now have the potential for enough members on the governing board to make a real difference.
So to be direct here, I'm on the radio, in my life I try to be more subtle, but to be direct, the feeling is that these new board members have certainly an understanding of and maybe a sympathy for the Verde Valley, Sedona, Yavapai College plight. That I'm going to call a plight.
Right. To some extent, the Valley has the best opportunity for equal representation on that board than it's had in certainly maybe two decades or longer.
Yes, okay.
It's incredible. I mean, there is a real chance.
Real openness.
For openness, willingness to listen.
Right.
Yeah. Once again, no, you don't need to be a political science major to realize that Prescott's side elected most of the college board because they had the population, and voting was open. The candidates came out of that side. They were elected that side.
One of the things that I heard from a Prescott area person was they were not excited about the 10-year plan, despite the fact that most of those funds would be used over there. They did not like the selling of properties after they had just been passed in that 2000 bond issue built and all that. Now the college is turning around and selling them. So there, I think there was some angst or whatever over that.
Even it
wasn't necessary that we weren't getting any money. It was that they did not like that the college had created this plan essentially without involving a lot of them.
A reminder, if I could just give a little background, is the 10-year plan was passed last year. And the 10-year plan was passed by the governing board. And the 10-year plan called for closing the Sedona facility and selling it off. It called for, I believe, closing Chino Valley, although that has been reversed as well. It officially closed Camp Verde campus. I think that had not been operational for a period of time.
Not since 2011.
And it was calling for moving, things like the nursing program from the Clarkdale campus to Prescott Valley. And so there were a number of things that were very alarming from this side. So that 10-year plan is still in place. It has not been rescinded. Yet we're seeing, and I'd like to really give these two a chance to list off some of the accomplishments that have taken place in that period.
Well, rather than accomplishments, let's talk just for a moment about the 10-year plan, and then we can go to what we think are some accomplishments. That plan is a result of broad-based apathy in the county in regards to what the district governing board was doing. You have to remember, they created a brand new technical campus at the Prescott Airport and invested millions of dollars in it without any serious voter involvement at all. They then created the regional university with NAU in 2008. Once again, without any real involvement of the voters here in the valley. Or in the county. And then, in this 10-year plan, they believed they could create a $45 million new campus in Prescott Valley to replace the old one and expand it without any input from the voters anywhere. What they were able to do was, because of apathy and little interest, and it's a big job, and then delegating, the board delegating virtually everything to the college, they were able to remove the democratic process from the determinations being made for that college, the democratic process that involved rather intimately the residents of the county. So that sort of explains that incredible $119 million going to the west side, less than 5% here. That would have never been approved.
And they were doing things like a large new tennis center for the community in Prescott, a new performing arts center with a dinner theater. They were going to expand the nursing program over there and take students from over here. And everything was based on the fact that that enrollment was declining. As you withdraw programs and you withdraw publicity for the college on this side of the campus, enrollment declines. And when enrollment declines, you can justify moving programs to the other side because nobody over here cares, right? And so that's really what you know, these two people did was to call attention to that and start to reverse that trend.
Well, certainly, if there was a college rep here, he would say, well, declining enrollment, and somebody like me would say, no, declining programs, you know, chicken and egg kind of thing. Don't offer the programs, don't support the programs, don't recruit for the programs, and, yeah, enrollment goes down.
You know, Michael, in 2003, we had over 2,000 live bodies coming to school at the college here in the Verde Valley. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that's that high now. I think it's around 1,200.
Right.
And people say, well, people aren't interested in education. You know, we don't have enough people here to have our own college. We have, if we could have 2,000 in 03, we have far less people in the valley in 03 than we do now. So there is a great need. We have a high rate of poverty in our communities, especially with our younger families. This C-Tech thing is just ideal: welding, auto mechanics. You know, we don't have any art. All the art program has been.
I was going to say, all those things that you can't get here anymore, that you have to travel to the other side of the
right.
for, and which eliminates, as far as I'm concerned, 9 out of 10 Verde Valley students aren't going to make that, make that trip over the mountain between time, work, and a vehicle that's capable of that kind of traffic and the expense. I want to frame. It was a $58 million budget back when I remember talking about it. And depending on who you talk to and depending on what figures you would get out of the college or that the Verde Valley, Sedona, provided either between $6 and $12 million of that budget. And some people, just on the basis of the numbers, forgetting the people at this table in the studio, they saw that as being enough of an issue that we're getting so little of the money that we give them back. Now, anyway, go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. In the Sedona Taxing District, we learned for the first time, and thanks to the mayor, the city council, and the people who worked on getting this information, we learned that over $6 million in tax money from the Sedona Taxing District alone goes directly to support the college. And when Sedona residents learned that for the first time, and Verde Valley people joining in, they were just astounded. And then to hear, when that was disclosed, that they're closing down or thinking of closing down this, whatever the touch the college really has here at the center, it just created an... I created a lot of outrage among many of the people. That is simply going too far.
So real quickly, the goal, I think, now it doesn't have to be real quick, real slow. The goal, one of the goals of your committee is to form, I'm looking at a pamphlet here, and I'm sure you can get a hold of Bob Oliphant or Ruth Wicks or Gary LeMaster for that matter, and get one of these. It says, "Why an administrative community college for the Verde Valley makes common sense." So basically, we're looking for what Maricopa County had done, God, many years ago, and other places, or lots of other places. You have more than one college in a community college district run independently.
To meet the needs of that community.
To meet the needs of everybody. You know, Paradise Valley Community College, Mesa Community College, Glendale Community College, where I started my illustrious college career, because it was just down the road from Luke Air Force Base. I was in the Air Force. I could drive down the street and go to Olive Street, Glendale Community College. So much like Tom Hanks, what I am today, with the highest paid actor, the highest paid radio.
There's a lot of similarities.
In this studio, I'm the highest paid radio guy in this studio.
You look a lot alike. And,
you have
about the same kind of money, right?
But, like I said, your committee did get the college off its butt, form the other committees. We'll see where those goes. Of course, there's some editorial cartoons that I've seen in the local print media talking about exactly that. And an advisory committee, and I've certainly been on my share of educational advisory committees that have no, they don't have to listen to your advice, you know. But there is a little bit of a bully pulpit there where you can say, we like these things, and the board will have to choose to ignore them, hopefully at their peril. So we're not going to talk about, at least unless right now at the moment, the other two committees. We want to talk about the goals of your committee and what you've been doing the last year and budget information.
Ruth? Well, no, you can go ahead.
No,
Ruth.
No.
Yeah, we have a long laundry list of things that we think we've done. Basically, what we've tried to do is to educate and bring accurate information to the people in the Verde Valley of what really was happening. Make them aware. The awareness is so important, and you've helped a terrific amount with this radio program. Thank you so very much. You guys have been just terrific in helping us do this.
Glad to do it.
We take some credit for alerting people to the tax issue here, the $6 million going out and nothing coming in. We take some credit, and there have been so many other people involved with these projects, but we basically saved the Sedona Center, which is huge, huge.
When I drove by it this morning, the road is under construction to get off of the main road to a parking lot. The parking lot is under construction and looking like it's nearing completion. So,
and we encourage the development of those two committees. Groups of people met with us about them. We encourage them to apply to be involved in both the college committees. We have distributed lots of pamphlets about what the college is doing and what it's not doing. We have met with anyone who will meet with us, the city councils, community groups, whomever, to try and provide a perspective from a citizen in the Verde Valley about what is happening. So, what would you want to add, Ruth, to our list of?
I'd like to interject one more thing that Bob and Ruth have done is created a blog that I think you can all access, and it will keep you updated on what's going on, and it's called EyeOnYavapaiCollege.com.
Yeah, that's a good way for a lot of people. If you don't get out much, all these places mystify you and traveling is difficult for you, get online, ioncommunitycollege.com.
Right. We try to notify everybody about the various meetings that they possibly could attend, because almost all the meetings are open to the public. It's very important that the board realizes that it's not just Bob and I that have these concerns and dreams. But it's most of the people in the Verde Valley have the same kind of desires to have better education in our valley, not only for ourselves, but for our young families and the children to come in the future.
Well, that's it. And we're not just talking about English and history here. We're talking certificate programs that can get you a job. And that's what the community college was. That was their bread and butter. That was what their function was, one of their functions.
And the other is to prepare students for four-year college by getting 2 years out of the way inexpensively and get your requirements that can be transferred to a four-year institution.
One of the biggest things that hurdles we have to overcome is that people have been entrenched with this culture that the Valley doesn't need education, that the college is poor, that we can't do it, we don't have enough people. There are all these misconceptions. It's really hard. Almost everyone, especially faculty people, say, do you think we can afford it?
Yes.
We don't have enough people. So these are things that it's sort of like if you've been a slave your whole life, and that's sort of what we're having to overcome.
We'll discuss the comparison later, but it may work.
If you will spend time and thoroughly examine the June financial reports that are posted by law by the college.
On yavapaicollege.org, right?
They're all over the
dot
place.
.edu, excuse me.
.edu.
Anywhere, yes. You'll discover that the college invests millions of dollars in buildings, things like that. One of the concerns that I have, and one of the things we're working on this year, is to try and get them away from looking at glittering buildings, gigantic tennis courts. They just spent a $1.3 million on a tennis complex without a tennis team to try to get them to take that money and use it for educational programs to address the serious problems that people are beginning to see pretty clearly over here now that exist, Gary.
And again, it's a problem for students here to drive over the mountain, and especially in the wintertime
it's more than a problem.
It's a good hour and a half or longer to get there, and it's not the safest highway in the world. And to ask them to do that if they're working part-time.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's nuts.
The point of a community college is in the community so you can keep your job, so you can keep your family, and you don't have to spend 3 hours on the road and the money involved.
I talked to a teacher for the college on the other side of the mountain who lives in Chino Valley, or did, and she talked about having to come over here to fill in for a class and how horrible it was to drive over here, and she would never do that again.
Right.
Yet the college was asking, students here to do the very same thing in reverse.
Well, to have a college board or anyone think that was a serious alternative, to even think for a second that was a serious alternative. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And it's because we have no voice and no power. That's
right.
Why we want administration here not to be fearful of being fired.
Right.
That they answer directly to the board, that ask, have their own budget, that speak and live in our community and know the community. We can knock on their door and say, have you thought about having a radio, a communication class? Because I think the gentleman that owns this particular radio station had offered that to the college in the past. And so our community is very eager to help the college. It is surprising how, despite being put down and ignored for so many years, 40-some years, we still have people that want to be and make things better.
And there's it's not just that the college benefits the students. The graduates of the programs have a great impact on the businesses and the schools in the community.
But Bob and I have talked about that. A college is an economic engine for any community. It certainly is for Prescott, hugely for Prescott. It's a little harder to nail down, but we are missing certainly a few pistons, maybe more than a few pistons of that economic engine in the Verde Valley as these programs go down, as they
Prescott
decline.
Valley has a wonderful culinary institute.
Valley.
Yeah.
Let's see, when you think of Sedona and you think of Prescott Valley, which do you think of culinary?
Yes, and so it makes a lot of sense. And in fairness, the college is seriously looking into that. And,
yes, they are.
And it looks like that will take place over here in Camp Verde. Let's talk about some of the challenges that we're going to be facing. We still have a number of things to get done over the next year I would put at the top of the list, and just as a starter, that we need to get the board to rescind the 10-year operating plan, which they're continuing to spend accordingly.
So. I think that's true, Gary. I would agree with you. The second thing would be the governance policy, which I think Bob, since he's been on the board, would explain that Carver method of governance.
Well, right. I suppose there is sentiment, at least Al Filardo has expressed it publicly, to do something about this policy governance model that is used. It squelches free speech. A governing board member, sitting board member, could never come on this program and criticize the college.
They also, under that model, don't have the ability to themselves put an item on the agenda. They have to go through the chair of the board. Is that
there are
correct?
Agenda issues in terms of how many people it requires to get something on the agenda. There is this view that once a vote is taken, you go along with that vote regardless of how detrimental it might be to you, that you don't go out and speak against something publicly if it's been decided. It's clearly chilling free speech, and certainly in the context of where we are electing. We have representatives, five of them, who are elected. Their speech is simply collared by the
governance
model.
Yeah. So let's roll with that. First of all, I want to mention Dean Perry. Looking for names here. Dean Perry and Ruth Alsesser are both on the Verde Valley Advisory Committee for Yavapai College, separate from the Ruth Wicks, Bob Oliphant, Gary LeMaster Advisory Exploratory Committee, trying to get advocates. Thank you.
There are a lot of committees.
There's only three. Now, they're yeah. manageable. When I was a journalist here for a print organization, there were 17 water organizations. You're not that bad yet. We can handle three. But talking about political issues, Bob and Ruth noticed some things during the campaign, I guess. The tennis court lobby, the $1.3 million tennis court, which we mentioned several times, had a lobby to the board. And they were successful, apparently.
Money talks.
Right.
If I might, you talked a little bit about how a college helps in economic development.
Yes.
The lobby behind that tennis court over there talks about bringing hundreds of thousands of dollars of new money into Prescott because of this $1.3 million complex. That lobby is very strong. It contributed $125,000, more or less, to the building of that complex. The college has no tennis team. The college has no significant tennis program. That is, if you go over there and look at it, it's state-of-the-art. But it is designed to help the city of Prescott specifically draw in major tennis matches. Which would be nice for them, which would even be nicer for Sedona, for Cottonwood. We're left out in the cold. You ask for a basketball court on the Verde campus, and you're going to get cost us too much money.
Well, forget but basketball it's and sports. We can't even get a dormitory.
We turned our racquetball court into a winery. Some of us used to play racquetball out there. But, the winery, I think, is a good use of space,
I would throw out one thing that I think, from the meeting I attended last week, and I'd like to hear Bob and Ruth talk about a little bit more, is when we talk about the lack of enrollment on this side of campus, what we learned in listening to superintendents of schools on this side of the mountain is that there has been very little outreach to students and to their parents. And they talked about how this is an issue and a problem. There's also a lack of transportation, particularly from schools from Camp Verde to get to the Clarkdale campus. They don't have the budget given the educational restrictions in Arizona. They simply don't have the money to do that. I'd say that if the board is concerned about enrollment, this has got to be one of the primary issues. I admit I'm biased because I come from a marketing background, but
I as a former high school counselor know that we might even have more than 500. High school seniors graduating annually. And if the superintendents are saying they go into sixth grade classrooms or 10th grade classrooms and they ask what college are you going to, and they can name all three of the state universities, and then they say, well, what about your college here? And the students look like, what college here? So there's a very little knowledge that we even have a college in this valley.
Wow. But if I might add, there's much more to this. We're no longer the single voices out there. Other people are rallying. Yes, the Sedona people did rally to the Saving the Sedona Center, but now we're hearing on access and awareness. The school superintendents from throughout the Verde Valley are aware of those issues and the problems, and they are bringing them out and reporting them. This was to the governing advisory committee, to the governing board, so that it's not coming from us, who are often viewed as too biased in favor of the citizens of the Verde Valley. It's coming from the experts, educators here, which really lends a terrific amount of credence to it.
We have to build some excitement amongst the young people for the college and this side of the mountain. And it's a very, very simple, I can't stress this enough, It's a very simple marketing issue. You have a well-identified captive audience. You don't have to spend large amounts of money. You can reach these people with a few meetings and with, you know, some, you know, simple, inexpensive printed materials, but just showing that you care about them and showing them the opportunities that are available to them, you know, could change enrollment quite easily and quite quickly.
There are many, many things that could be done to make students and their families aware of the educational opportunities that exist here in the Valley.
And to demand them.
Yeah. Well, you know, what was nice, just a little thing, is all three of the superintendents of the school districts, which are, I think, Cottonwood Oak Creek School District is the second largest employer in the Verde Valley, they said, we have space, and we would be happy to share it with the college. So that we're not looking at creating big, huge buildings over here.
Exactly.
We're looking at developing programs, marketing those programs, and hiring good staff.
In doing it in existing space, existing educational space, whether it's the high school, Mingus High School, Sedona High School, or Cottonwood Elementary or Sedona Elementary.
Let me give you just one problem. Let's say your son or daughter would like to really, after graduation or 2 years after graduation, have the opportunity for a terrific job paying $35,000 to $55,000 entry level. On the west side of the valley, they have a $1 million grant where they are training people to be linemen, line persons, okay, as a part of an APS grant and a grant from others also. So they have students who are leaving that program with a certificate, with the opportunity for these high-paying jobs. It's a terrific program. How many students on the east side of the county do you think are eligible or can take those programs? Not eligible, can take those programs right now as we sit here.
You know, I have no idea. I'm a pretty aware guy, but I didn't know anything about it.
It's zero.
Zero.
None. It's such an inequity, Gary.
It's a long drive,
let me just say, with high school students, it's different than the drive. There is, even if they drove over there, they cannot take those courses for credit.
Right.
Okay? Not at the present time.
Right.
That is a major, this whole issue of equity.
Well, that's it. You can't put people under 18 on the road or require them to be out there.
And one of the biggest issues that problems we're facing is the state budget for education, which has raised its ugly head again, and that's going to have a big impact. So we all need to be aware of that and speak to it. So.
Well, at the Maricopa level, it's $4 million, the state's latest cuts to education, the Doug Ducey cuts, to their Maricopa system. Is $4 million. Now it's much, much smaller, and Yavapai was already cut. There's almost, it would be safe to say there's virtually no state support of community colleges. It's going to be maybe 1% in Maricopa, maybe less than that here. So, no, you're not getting any help from the state.
And it impacts in other ways, like transportation, you know, from high schools to you know, college days and programs like that.
Housing. We can go on and on. Like I said, the economic engine of every campus is huge. The tentacles go out, and many, many segments of the local economy are supported by...
The economic engine of Yavapai Community College is your property tax, period.
Well, that's a good point. It's circular. Exactly. You know, you make the money, you send the taxes, and it should come back to you in spades. That's the way it's supposed to work.
We should remind people they've been listening to Democratic Perspective, and you can listen to our podcast on vvid.org.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.